Okay, today we're going to learn Daf Tes Vav Amid Beis of Maseches Tainis. The Kohanim in the Beis Hamikdash were divided up amongst 24 different Mishmaros, 24 groups that would take turns doing the Avodah. And each week, one of those groups would do the Avodah in the Beis Hamikdash. Now, each group was subdivided into seven Batei Avos, seven subgroups, seven families. Each Beis Av would work one day of that week. The Mishnah comes to teach us that when it comes to the Anshei Mishmar and the Anshei Beis Av, the people of the group and the people of the subgroup, they were lenient when it comes to the fast days because they were very busy doing the Avodah, so they had to work very hard. It would have been very difficult for them to have all these extra fast days. So says the Mishnah, again we're continuing in the Mishnah, we're up to Shalosh Ta'anios Harishonos. So says the Mishnah, Shalosh Ta'anios Harishonos, Anshei Mishmar, Misa'anin V'lo Mashlimin. The first three fast days, the people of the Mishmar that were working the Beis HaMikdash that week, but they weren't working on that day, it was just their group's turn, but it wasn't their subgroup's turn to work that day, they would fast, but they wouldn't complete the fast all the way until Tzeisa Kachavim. They would eat before the day actually ended, because we know that that they're going to be needed for work that week in the Beis HaMikdash. V'anshei Beis Av, but the people of the Beis Av, who were actually working that day in the Beis HaMikdash, Loi, Misan, Klal, they wouldn't even fast at all in the first group of fast days. B'sholosh Shnios, in the second set of three fast days, Anshei Mishmar Mis'anin U'Mashlimin, the people from the Mishmar would fast and would complete the fast, V'anshei Beis Av, and the people who were working that day, Mis'anin V'lo Mashlimin, would begin the fast but wouldn't complete the fast till the end of the days. Sheva Achronos, but then when it came to the seven last fast days, these are the most strict ones, Elu Ve'elu Mis'anin U'Mashlimin, Divrei Rabbi Yeshua, both the Anshei Mishmar and the Anshei Beis Av would fast the entire day. That is Rabbi Yeshua's opinion. The Chachamim and the Chachamim say, Sholosh Tanyos Rishonos, the first three fast days, Elu Ve'elu, both the Anshei Mishmar and the Anshei Beis Av, Lo Hayu Misanin Klal, wouldn't fast at all. Sholosh Shnios, the second set of three fast days, Anshei Mishmar Misanin, the people of the Mishmar would fast, V'lo Mashlimin, but they wouldn't complete the fast, Anshei Beis Av, Lo Hayu Misanin Klal, but the people of the Beis Av wouldn't fast at all. Sheva Achronos, and then the last seven fast days, Anshei Mishmar Misanin Mishlimin, the people of that Mishmar would fast and complete the fast, Anshei Beis Av Misanin V'lo Mashlimin, but the people from the Beis Av would fast and would not complete the fast. So main point number one or two, however you want to label it, is that the fast days got progressively stricter. The fast days got progressively stricter. So the Anshei Mishmar and to a lesser extent the Anshei Beis Av had increased responsibilities to fast or requirements to fast as the fasts went on. So again, the fast days got progressively stricter. The first three were pretty lenient, the next three a little stricter, the last seven even stricter. So the Anshei Mishmar, and to a lesser extent the Anshei Beis Av, who were not as strict with, were stricter on the Anshei Mishmar, had increased requirements to fast as those fast days went on. So once we bring these halachas that are about the Anshei Mishmar and Anshei Beis Av, about fasting, the Mishnah brings other halachas that relate to the Anshei Mishmar and the Anshei Beis Av. Anshei Mishmar, the people of that week's group, but people who weren't actually working the Beis Hamikdash that day, mutar l'shtos siyayin b'leilo, savalo b'yamim, are allowed to drink wine at night, just not during the day. And the reason they're not allowed to drink wine during the day is we're afraid that the avodah of the karbanos is going to be too difficult for the people whose turn it actually was that day, and they're going to need some backup. So where are they going to get backup? By the rest of the Anshei Mishmar, whose turn it wasn't really supposed to be that day. Now, if they had drunk wine, they would be disqualified from serving the Beis HaMikdash that day. But Anshei Beis Av, the people who were actually supposed to be working the Beis HaMikdash that day, lo b'yom v'lo b'layla, they weren't even allowed to drink, not at day nor at night time. Another halacha, Anshei Mishmar, the people of the Mishmar, whose week it was, but it wasn't their day, and the Anshei Maimed, the people of the Yisraelim who would stand and daven for their corresponding mishmar, asurin milisaper saaram, they were not allowed to get haircuts, and they weren't allowed to wash their clothing, uva chamishi, and on the Thursday of that week, mutarim nekvod Shabbos, they were allowed to do so for the sake of kavod Shabbos. So I guess we'll make another main point out of this. Anshe mishmar had drinking restrictions, and haircutting and laundering were only mutar on Thursday. Good. There is a thing called Megillas Tainus. Megillas Tainus is a book that they wrote down all of the days that miracles happened for the Jewish people during the times of the second Beis HaMikdash, and as a way to commemorate those miracles, the Chum made it a partial Yom Tov, and they made a takana that you're not allowed to fast on those days. On the days that these miracles, that greater miracles happened, they said not only you're not allowed to fast, you're not even allowed to give a eulogy, you're not allowed to even say a hesped. So Kalakasu b'Megillas Tainus, to lo l'mispad, l'fan of aser, la'achrav mutar. Any day that it says in Megillas Tainus that a really big miracle happened, that you're not even allowed to say a eulogy, so even the day before it, you're not allowed to say a eulogy, lest you come to say the eulogy a little bit late on the day of the miracle. But the day after it, you are allowed to say the eulogy, because the day's already over. The day of the miracle is already over. Rabbi Yossi Amar l'fan of Ula Achra Vasar. Rabbi Yossi says, no, you're not allowed to say a eulogy the day before, nor the day after. To Lola Hisa'na'a, but any day that had a more minor miracle, where you're just not allowed to fast, but you're allowed to give a eulogy, l'fan of Ula Achra of Mutar. You're allowed to fast on the day before and the day after. Rabbi Yossi Amar, Rabbi Yossi says, no, l'fan of Vasar, l'achra of Mutar. You're not allowed to fast the day before, lest you again you get confused and you fast into the day of the Megillas Tainus itself. But the day after, you are allowed to fast. So the Mishnah comes to explain which days are recorded in Megillas Tainus where we're not allowed to declare a fast day. What are the days that we're not allowed to declare a fast day? So says the Mishnah. Ein gozrin tainus al tzibur betchila b'chamishi. We don't make a fast day on a Thursday. I mean, the first of a set of fast days should not be a Thursday. In order shelo lafkia sharim, in order not to mess up the prices in the market, food is going to become very expensive, because when the storekeepers see that people are buying on Thursday night a lot of food for large meals, because it's going to, not only are they buying food for Shabbos, they're also buying food for a post-fast, they're going to think that there must be famine, and they're going to raise the prices. So Ella Shalosh Tanios Harishonos, so rather the first three fast days that we have, when it doesn't rain, should not be Thursday, Monday, Thursday. Rather, the way we do it is Monday, Thursday, Monday. Sheni v'chamishi v'sheni. V'shalosh hashnios, and the second set of three, chamishi, sheni v'chamishi. That's Thursday, Monday, Thursday. Because since the storekeepers obviously realize that it's not because of famine, by that time they'll realize that we're being gozer fast days because of the rain issue, so then we're allowed to have more Thursdays. Rabbi Yossi omer k'shem sheni rishonos b'chamishi, kach lo shnios lo achronos. Rabbi Yossi says, no, just like the first set of three fast days can't start on a Thursday, the second set and the third set also can't start on Thursday. Ein goes in Tainus al Tzibur b'Roshei Chodashim b'Chanukah v'Purim. We don't fast on Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, or Purim v'Mischilu, but if they started a fast before then, they started, let's say, a Seder of fast days of Monday, Thursday, Monday, and it turns out that one of those days happens to be Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, or Purim, Ein Mafsik, and then we don't have to stop the fast days. Divrei Rabban Gamliel. That's what Rabban Gamliel says. Amar Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir points out, Aval Bisham Rabban Gamliel, Ein Mafsikin, Modo Yashay Mashlimin. Even though Rabban Gamliel says that even on Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, Purim, we won't stop, but we're not going to complete the fast days on those days. We're not going to fast the whole day on Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, Purim. We'd fast a little bit close to the end of the day, but not all the way until Tzeisach Kochav, and we would eat around sunset time. V'chein v'tishvav shchaldios perav Shabbos. And the same is true if Tishvav falls out on Friday. We don't fast the whole day. We eat a little bit before the sun sets, in order that we shouldn't go into Shabbos when we're starving. So I guess main point number whatever it is, and the last main point of the Mishnah, the list of rules about Megillas Tainus and how it fits with fasting for rain. Okay, the Mishnah said, Seder Tainios Ketzad Mutzina Sateva. So we said, how do we do the fasting? We bring out the Aron Kodesh to the town square, and the Gemara understands that the Mishnah is talking about all of the Tainios, even the first ones and the middle ones, not just the last seven fastings. So the Gemara raises the question, do we really bring out the Sefer Torah, the Aron Kodesh, to the town square for all these things? Vafilu Bakamaisa, even on the first set of three fast days? Uriminu, I'll ask you, Stira, Shalosh Tainios Rishonos, the first three fast days, Ushnios, and the second three, Nichnasim Levesa Knesses, everyone goes into Shulam Mispalin, and that's where they daven, Kedarksham Mispalin, Kolashon Akula, just like they would daven all year long. Uvisheva Achronos Motziin Esateva. And the last seven fast days, that's when they finally bring out the Torah, Lurchov Shalir, to the town square. Vinos Nefer Al Gabe Teva, Vrosh Nosim, Vrosh Avbezin, Vkalech Vechad, Notel Vinosim, Vrosh. And that's where everyone puts ashes on their heads. Rabbi Nosin Omer, Efer Mikla, Hein Mavian, that they bring burnt ashes, and the reason that the burnt ashes is better because it resembles the ashes of Yitzchak. So you see in the very beginning of this brisa, though, that in the first three fast days and the second three fast days, there is no bringing the Aron Kodesh out. So how come our Mishnah sounds like it's just part of the normal procedure of fast days that you bring the Aron Kodesh out? So we have to understand that when our Mishnah says we bring the Aron Kodesh out, it's only on the last seven fast days. So main point, Gemara proves that we only bring the Aron Kodesh out. We only bring the Aron Kodesh out for the last seven fast days. Good. We learned in the Mishnah the putting of the ashes, and we said how they first put the ashes on the Aron Kodesh, and then Uvarosh HaNasi, and then on the head of the Av Beis Din, and then Kol Echad Ve'Echad Nosim Barosho. Everyone puts it on their own head. So the Gemara asks, Eini, is this really so, that first you would put on the more Chashva people, and then everyone, the rest of the nation, would put on their heads? Vatanya, we have a Braisa, Rebbe Omer Bigedula. Rebbe says that when it comes to every issue of Chashivus and showing importance and respect, Maschilim and Agadol, so you let the biggest people go first. Uva klala, but when it comes to issues of curse, to issues that are bad, that are sad, maskilim and akatan, we always start with the smallest people. V'gedul maskilim and agadol shneamar. How do I know that with issues of chashivas you start with the biggest person? Because the pasuk says ve'yomer Moshe l'Aaron l'Elazar l'Isamar. That Moshe said to Aaron and Elazar l'Isamar, his children, and he told them that you shouldn't tear your clothing, and you shouldn't rip out your hair, etc. But you see that he spoke to Aaron before he spoke to Aaron's children. When it comes to klala, we begin with the smallest one. First, the snake was cursed, and then Chava was cursed, and then Adam was cursed. So the Gemara answers. The Gemara's question, of course, is: so why, when it comes to putting the ashes, isn't that a bad thing? Why would we start with the biggest people? So the Gemara answers, ha chashivus l'ditu. No, it's a chashivus to put the ashes on the biggest people first. De amri luhu atun chashivisu l'mbayu lan rachme ha'kuli alma. Because by putting the ashes on their heads, that's saying that you are so chashuv, the people of the ashes, you are worthy of davening for Hashem to save everybody, for Hashem to save the whole world. You're the most worthy of actually davening for it. V'kol echad ve'echad nosin barosho, and everyone put on their own heads, nosi v'abezin nami nishkalu inhu v'ninchu barashayu. Well, wait a second, the Gemara asks. If everyone puts on their own heads, why didn't the nosi v'abezin put on their own heads? Maishna the shakal inish achrino manuchlu. Why did other people have to place it on their heads? So Gemara answers, Amar Rabbi Abba demin kisri, eino doma mispayish me'atzmo l'mispayish me'acherim. Someone is much more embarrassed when someone else embarrasses them than when they embarrass themselves. So it creates a greater sense of agmas nefesh and being distraught and sadness when someone else puts on their heads. So says Gemara, v'heichi manach lehu, where would they actually put the ashes? I'm Rabbi Yisrael makom tefillin, in the place of the tefillin, shenemar, lasum la aveli tzion, lases lem pe'er tachas efer. That it talks about pe'er tachas efer, that when we get over the avelus, we put a pe'er, which is our tefillin, instead of efer. It's the same letters, pe'er and efer. Instead of where the ashes are when we're in mourning, we put pe'er, we put the tefillin on instead. The tefillin are referred to as a pe'er. So let's say main point, final main point over here is we put ashes on greatest people first. On greatest people first, because it's a sign of chashivus. And others put it on them to increase the agmach's nefesh. Increase agmas nefesh. Let's also do a concept over here. It seems to me to be an important concept, which is bagdula maschilin min hagadol and beklala maschilin min hakatan. Those are concepts. That bagdula maschilin min hagadol, when it comes to matters of importance and chashivos, you start with the greatest one. And when it comes to matters of cursing and lowliness, we start with the lowest person down on the totem pole. So that is tezvav and beis. Be'ez Hashem, will pick up tezayin amud aleph from Rehov, Teva, Vesakim, Efer, etc., next time, Be'ezras Hashem.